All right. So what I want to talk today about today is being involved in ministry. And no matter your age, there's always a place of ministry for you. I want to talk about finding your place in God's call for your life and just doing it. And it's not always easy, but you got to do it nonetheless. So when our church was pretty small, now when evangelists come in, they go to a hotel and we take them out to eat and all that. But when we were younger and the church was just growing, they would come stay at our house, which I'm sure they had wonderful stories to tell about three little trolls running around the house. But when they went somewhere else, but sometimes it was really, really rude, but sometimes it was a whole lot of fun. And we had a guy, a missionary, come in named Brother Strickland. And he came down to breakfast, and we were all sitting at the table. And while we were sitting there, he just grabbed my hands, and he said, "I see the hands of a great musician." And I was young, and I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. But as I got older, and as time went on, I did begin to play some, and me and my sisters were always singing and beating on something, and Grammy, "Sing, girl, sing," you know, just real proud. And so it was just a real musical household. And I think I was around 13 when I first played in church for my first time. And it was Fun Sunday. And so for some reason, I felt like it was a good idea for me to go out into the sanctuary, make my special appearance, sit down at the piano with a big clown, a blue clown wig, and a red nose. And I sang and played. Do y'all know that song, "Jesus, What a Wonderful Child" by Mariah Carey, her Christmas album? Yeah. So I said it, you know, I was like, "Jesus," with my big wig. It was so, and no one tried to stop me. Like, my family apparently does not love me because it was, it was a bad situation. But from then on, I played for junior choir some. I helped with altar calls, and I took some lessons and just played around the house. But as I got older, I realized, I was like, I think I know my calling. And I started playing with Sister Bonnie and Sister Corey. I don't know if y'all know that, but Sister Corey used to play the piano. And I absolutely loved it. But it wasn't, and it hasn't always been easy. When I was around 11, we were at a church camp. It's kind of like the night camp. And I was fixing Dana Meehan's hair. And this girl used to go to our church. I was fixing her hair. And the next thing I knew, I woke up in the back of some random person's car. And I was like, where are my family? Where are my friends? I had no idea what was going on. And they brought me to the emergency room. And I later found out that I had a grand mal seizure. And my mouth was all eaten up. My tongue was swollen and bleeding. And I just felt like I had been exercising. And I never exercised. So I felt like I've been exercising for hours. And it was super scary and just full of a lot of unknowns. So they put me on a lot of different medicines and had a lot of doctor visits. And I just tried to figure out, now I'm going to have to live a life with epilepsy, and that's okay. And I've had a really good life, but just how, because everything changes with that. You can't sleep with pillows and blankets. You can't go near water. There's no more swimming unless, you know, my parents would put me in this, like, body life vest, you know, wherever I was. The lake would be a mile away, and my dad would call and say, "Where's your life vest?" You know, and it was like, I'm in the youth group, and it's so embarrassing. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But anyway, I have a good life. And we would pray, but then we would just laugh our way through it. And this is who I am now, and it's okay. So I was in my 20s, and we started praise team and music team. And it was fun, but it was really scary. And I remember my first big choir practice, I was excited. And I was just teaching and all that. But then I just felt like, as I was doing that, I was just like, I am not good at this. So I told everybody, I was like, okay, you know, we need to take a water break and, you know, get those voices all fixed up. And I ran right to my dad's office, and I just sat on the couch, and I just started crying like a big baby. But I was just like, and I told him, I said, I'm not good enough. I can't teach parts. I can't sing. I can't do this. And, of course, as a dad, you know, he tells you, you're wonderful. You're beautiful. You can do anything, you know. And then, you know, he reminded me of the missionary, of the prophecy. And then he pretty much just said, get out there and do your job, you know. So, and I went, and I was really scared. But during all that time, I had several more seizures, and all but two were on the platform. Like, I'm playing the piano or something, and I just fall out. And I asked my doctor, I was like, why is this happening? And she said, well, the things that seem to set you off are lack of sleep, stress, and repetition. And, of course, the piano is all repeating the same thing over and over. And so I asked her, I said, so what you're saying is me playing the piano is a trigger to have a seizure? And she said, well, yes. Because you're repeating the same thing over and over. And stress, because it's nerve-wracking when you walk up in front of all those people, you know. And so I just thought, you know, how could that be the case? Because certainly the gift that God had given me couldn't be the trigger for some of the scariest times. You know how it is. But some of the scariest times in my life and my family's life, it just didn't seem, I don't want to say fair, but it's just like, why would you give me this if it's going to cause me to, you know, what I thought, make a fool out of myself, you know, in front of all my friends and family. But, and I scared small children, but that terrified me for a while. And I couldn't even walk up on the platform to play without hearing those words. I was like, and I would just prepare myself. I was like, okay, here you go. You might fall out, turn purple, look insane, and bite your tongue up while your eyes are rolling in the back of your head. It's, from what I hear, it's pretty scary. And then my doctor says, and you know that you can go to the bathroom on yourself. And I was like, what? That made me never want to play the piano again. And it, but thankfully, I never have, or at least they say I haven't.
Yeah.
But, and I felt, and walk up there and just look insane in front of hundreds of people. And I will tell you, that is not a pleasant, I mean, it's not a pleasant thought at all. But then I also remember that God made me this way, you know, and he gave me the gift at a young age. And he also knew I would have all these issues, and but he must have thought I could handle it, and I was the one for the job. So I said, okay. And there are still times, like, when I walk up on the platform, you know, y'all wouldn't know it, because I'm like, oh, I just, here we go, you know. But my hands will be shaking, and, like, Cornelius and Sam will be like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm a nervous wreck. And, but, so also my medicine that I take affects my memory, and my whole entire job is to remember parts and remember songs and remember how to play things. And it's like, great. You know, there have been a lot of times I was great, but sometimes we'll plan a song and I have forgotten and I just start playing another song. And they're looking back at me like, don't y'all worry about it. Just sing whatever I'm playing. And these things are not like to get sympathy from you guys at all. But I just want to let you know that in ministry, it's not always perfect. And it's okay to be nervous and it's okay to be somewhat scared. But it's not okay to be lazy with whatever your gift is. And we probably are all a little guilty of that sometimes. But, I mean, the goal is to everybody give your all. And at the end of the day, you will feel fulfilled and be glad you did what you did. When I'm sitting up there and I'm, like, being all spastic and nervous and, like, and I look out at the crowd and, like, y'all are on your faces and everybody's worshiping and shouting and getting the Holy Ghost. I'm like, oh, you know, in spite of my craziness, it's always so worth it. And, sorry, y'all. I ain't emotional. So, y'all just have to deal with that. But there's a part of me that still thinks sometimes I could just go to church, I can pray, worship, be a good saint, sit on the pew, and not chance messing up or horribly making a fool of myself in front of everyone. And when I was y'all's age, it was like my boyfriend was in the crowd and all my friends. And, you know, it's to think in front of your boyfriend, you're just going to lay down and, like, flop like a fish or something. That's nerve-wracking. It's like, why do I want to get up there and do that, you know? But when those thoughts come into my head, I have to go back and I think about Calvary. And I just think, you know, God could have taken the easy way out. You know, he could have not died. He could have not been nailed to a cross. And that would have been much easier than what he did. And all the torture that he endured. But he did it anyway. So who am I to say it's too hard, or I might fail, or the commitment is too much, or I can't get to practice because I might not be perfect? I mean, who am I to say that? And there are lots of times when I have horrible hair nights, and I get to church, and I'm like,
preacher,
let's go. And you might have those times where you're not, like, perfect, but how can you say no to a ministry or the calling of God that he has put on your life just because it's uncomfortable or it's challenging? Because most things you take part in are going to challenge you and are not going to come easy. And insecurities are real. I'm not belittling that. They're scary, and they can make you feel like, you know, you're not good enough. And there are people that would do a better job. And that's probably true. There are people somewhere out there that will do a better job. But if God called you, then he thinks that you're the one for the job. And all ministries are important. And lots of people look at platform ministry as that's the most important ministry. But you always say, like, no one would come hear good music or singing if you had to, you know, walk through trash and sit on a dirty toilet. You know, nobody wants to do that. So the cleaning ministry is a really big deal. And, like, greeters, you're the first person that people see. And so first impressions are a big deal. And so we always hear how kind and inviting our church is. So greeting is a huge deal. Then there's the Barnabas ministry. That's definitely not my calling. That's the ministry at our church where if people are sick, you cook for them and you bring them food. Or on Sunday mornings, they cook for like all the singers that are there and really early. And so, but if I was part of the Barnabas ministry, McDonald's would have a really long line on Sunday mornings. This not good. Or like bringing food to sick people. I always feel like I would only make them sicker. So I just play the piano and leave them alone. So that's not my calling. But, and like Sunday school teachers, I know some of you guys are in Sunday school now. That is huge. I mean, people are trusting you to, with their children, in teaching them the Word of God, which is a really big deal. And I always think, like, if I had to teach Bible story, I would rather have a seizure, or probably would have a seizure if I was asked to teach Bible story, because I am terrified. But like when Kai was filled with the Holy Ghost, it was like I was watching her and I was just thinking about all the teens and the people that had invested their time into her. And it was like, they played such a huge role in that, you know? So, and it's just, we're the body of Christ. And I know we hear the teaching about every part of the body is important. And it is really true, though. Like, if I chop your arm off, you'll probably survive that, but you definitely won't be the same. And that's how it is in the body of Christ. We'll go on without you. You won't stop us, but we won't be the same, and we need all hands on deck. But also you have to remember, when you put yourself out there, you also have to be able to take criticism and correction, which is not always fun. It's not easy. But sometimes what the people that God has put in your life have to say, you know, it's not going to be what you want to hear, but you just have to trust God that, okay, you know, they know what they're doing. They have my best interest at heart, and then you just go with it. And sometimes your calling is whatever is asked of you. Like, God might not speak to you directly, but he might speak to an elder, or he might speak to your pastor. And sometimes it might not be a passion, but it's what's needed at that time. Like, if you're the only piano player in the church, then that's your calling at that time because you're needed. You know, if you're the only person in the church that can make a good latte and coffee, then the coffee shop is your ministry at that time. And if you do what's needed, not necessarily not your passion, but if you just do what is needed at the time, your passion-based ministry will eventually come to pass. So it's just, no matter how small you think your ministry is, it's not. Every part is needed, and it takes everyone working together and giving their best to make it work. And no matter your age or your talent level, none of that matters. There's a place for everyone, and you just do your best and with what you have, and God, and he takes care of the rest. And all he asks is that we say yes, and there's no ministry that is too small or not important. So, and I am thankful for all of you guys. My girls look up. But my girls look up to y'all. You guys are who they want to dress like, be sassy like, and you're just the role model. I mean, when I take them shopping, well, Sophie does this, or Taylor, the girls, you know, they do this. And it's like, and of course, I'm just the old mother who is lame and wears mom dresses, as you say. But y'all are who they want to be. And so they're always watching. There's always someone watching you and who wants to be like you. And so just keep that in mind. And they're following in your footsteps. And I'm thankful for every one of you. And I love all you guys. And that is my DOK talk.